Recently, Jews around the world celebrated Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. Lashana Tov, everybody. But it's not just any new year. This year is what's known as a Shemitah, or a sabbatical year, which occurs every 7th year. Now, the Torah states for this year, all Jewish-owned land in Israel is not to be worked, to be left fallow. Anything that grows there should be given away. Also, at the end of the year, the Shemitah, all debts are to be forgiven. Well, you could see why this might be a problem for some farmers and those who want to buy produce. Well, where there's a problem, there's often a solution, even if it's not one that makes everyone happy. And over the years, rabbis have found ways for Israeli Jews to technically observe the Shemitah, loopholes, if you will. It wasn't really a big deal until a new law by the chief rabbinate ruled on the Shemitah, and it caused a splintering of opinion about how strictly to observe. Joining us now from Jerusalem to discuss this is Rabbi Julian Sinclair. He's the author of Let's Shmooze, Jewish Words Today. Hi, Rabbi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. Can you tell us what was the original purpose for the Shemitah year?
The original purpose of the Shemitah year in the Bible was to give the land a break once every 7 years. We don't farm it or sow or reap, and so it has a strong ecological value to it. And it's also, there's a strong social justice purpose to it as well. In the law which you referred to, that once every 7 years, debts would be forgiven. So people have got themselves in over their head in debt would be able to make a new start once every 7 years.
Now,
so it's social justice and ecology were very much at the heart of it.
So once upon a time, perhaps that wasn't as big an issue economically for people, but it became a problem in the late 19th century, and there started to be ways that some Israeli Jews figured out how to get around the rule in the past. Can you explain that to us?
Yes. Well, when Jews started to return to the land of Israel in the late 19th, early 20th century, and became involved in agriculture for the first time in a couple of thousand years, it became very difficult to practically observe the Shemitah year because they were poor, struggling farmers who were just trying to get themselves established, and they didn't know so much about farming anyway. And they found once every 7 years they had to give up the job, and it was just unmanageable economically. So the great rabbi at the time, Rabbi Abraham Isaac Cook, who was the first chief rabbi of Mandatory Palestine, came up with the following solution, which was that the Jewish farmers in the land could sell the land for the whole year to non-Jews, and so technically it wouldn't be Jewish-owned land, and so they'd be able to continue farming during the 7th year. Now, he came up with this. It may seem like a kind of a dodge or a loophole, but for two main reasons. First, for him, Jews returning to the land of Israel and farming the land was a tremendous value for him. Now, he thought it was almost a fulfillment of biblical prophecy, and so he was willing to find a solution to them for them to carry on farming. And it goes along with a tradition in Jewish law to find compassionate legal solutions when there's real economic hardship at stake, which there certainly was in this case.
Another example of how people sort of got around it or existed during this year was something like you don't actually farm in the ground. You could farm above the ground. You could create something on stilts and farm that way, as long as it wasn't touching the ground.
Yeah, that's another solution which has been adopted over the last 40, 50 years. You know, for example, hydroponic production of vegetables. Tomatoes, for example, tomatoes. You say you can grow them just in water, which is not actually rooted in the ground, and so that's another possible solution. Although that doesn't work for all kinds of fruit or vegetables.
Well, you can say tomatoes because it sounds great when you do. So let's discuss.
Okay, tomatoes.
Let's discuss this year. Tell me about this new law by the chief rabbinate that's making things difficult, that people are having a difficult time deciding what to do this Shemitah year?
Well, yes. The situation's really changed this year, and I'll tell you how. For the last 59 years, the chief rabbinate of Israel sponsored the sale of the land to non-Jews during the Shemitah year, the Heter Mechira, as they called it, enabling Jews who wanted to farm, and Jews who wanted to eat fruit and vegetables which had been grown in this way to eat it. Now, throughout this period, there were a small minority of Jews, sometimes called ultra-Orthodox, though I prefer the word Haredi, which is how they define themselves, who said, well, we don't want to rely on this heter mechira, this device of selling the land. Well, it's a bit of a loophole. We'd really like prefer to observe it, the Shemitah, properly, as we think it always should have been, and not any food which is grown in the land of Israel at all. And, of course, you know, it was their right to accept upon themselves the extra stringent standard and bear the costs of doing so. What changed this year is that the chief rabbiner did what seems to be a very inconsistent position. On the one hand, they said, yes, we'll continue to sponsor the Heter Mechira. But on the other hand, they said, but any regional rabbinates who are under our jurisdiction in a particular town or city who decide that they don't want to support the Heter Mechira, they will be free not to give kosher certification to food which is grown under the provision of the Heter Mechira. So on the one hand, they're saying, yes, we're sponsoring the sale of the land. On the other hand, they're saying, but you know, any rabbi who wants to say that food based on this sale of the land is not kosher is free to do so.
So there's no real clear direction, and that must be causing adverse reaction among Israeli Jews, because there's no clear which way to go.
It's causing tremendous adverse reaction amongst a few different groups for a few different reasons. I mean, first, most obviously, the farmers are up in arms because, you know, if they can't get kosher certification for food which they grow this year, then retailers and hoteliers and caterers and supermarkets won't buy it, and so their livelihood is seriously at risk. It's causing severe unhappiness in the religious Zionist community, because for them, you know, the Heter Mechira was a kind of a pillar of their ideology. For the religious Zionists, it's very important to be able to be viable Jewish farmers in the land of Israel and at the same time to observe the Torah law. And so these new rules are undercutting the possibility of doing that. They're going to put a lot of farmers out of business if they observe the Shemitah law. And also, politically, there's a good deal of opposition to it, because a lot of the food which in the sabbatical year, which is not grown in the land of Israel, has always come from Gaza.
Oh boy!
Because Gaza is technically not part of the biblical land of Israel, and so the last Shemitah year, there were Jewish farmers growing a lot of fruit and vegetables in Gaza, so you know you could eat the stuff which they grew. This Shemitah year, things have changed a little bit, and Hamas is now in charge in Gaza. And so people think, with some justification, that, you know, if you're too religious to eat things which are grown in the land of Israel, then you're actually putting money in the pockets of people who are shooting rockets at us. So there's a lot of opposition to this move by the chief rabbiner.
Rabbi Julian Sinclair is the author of Let's Schmooze Jewish Words Today. We do want to talk to you about your book sometime in the future. Rabbi, thank you so much for explaining
thank
all of that
you very
to
much,
us.
Allison. Nice to see you. Bye-bye.
Coming up on the BPP, excuse me, TiVo, DVR, the whole way we're watching TV is changing, and that means a lot for the kind of shows that get on the air. We're going to find out about that.
It's all coming up on the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.